Outdoors 267-1023 267-1023 to be part of the show. In the house, Randy Horton. He's the exercise guru guy, I think. Of course, you probably would be too. Randy Horton of the WildTrails.org, a nonprofit organization that does a lot of work around the trails here in the area, and It's always cool to me to hear somebody talking about, you know, you're talking about 56 trailheads in the area within 25 miles. You know, how many people don't realize that? I mean, well besides Rob. That's pretty awesome.
Well, a lot of people get stuck in their neighborhood, and, you know, there's a lot of people I've met here that have never been to Glen Falls. I mean, it's a super pretty waterfall built by, the trail there was built by a civilian conservation corps. I mean, it was back in the 40s, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's been around a long, long time. Really pretty waterfall, and a lot of people don't know about it. It's just almost in downtown. I mean, it's just not far at all over there, Lookout Mountain. So, yeah, it's surprising that most of them are hidden secrets.
Sure. All right, let's go to, I believe this is Jim Edmister, talking about the Toys for Tots crappie thing.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing well. Thank you so much. Give everybody the particulars here.
Well, we've got the 10th annual Forgotten Child Fund crappie tournament coming up Sunday, October the 12th at Chester Frost Park. Our registration is 6 a.m. to 7:20 a.m. Blast off is at 8 a.m. and weigh-in is 1:30 p.m. And we have a mandatory anglers meeting at 7:30 a.m. Entry fee is $25 per boat. Plus, and this is what we're after, is the unwrapped toy per person. Anywhere, one toy per participant. And, of course, everybody can make a donation, either cash, card, or check. And we'd like to see everybody at the weigh-in. We're hopefully going to have around 30 boats. I think that's what we're shooting for.
Well, that'd be awesome. And this is brought to you by the Chattanooga Crappie Club, the Sheriff's Office, the Police Department here, as well the firefighters and the EMS. So this is a great deal. Correct. And when you come out at 1:30 for the weigh-in, bring a toy then as well.
That's what we'd love to have. We're looking forward to that, and we appreciate all you and Rob and Tony that you have done and helped us out with that. And if they need further information, they can call me at 423-421-0297.
Well, Jim, thank you so much. I'm hoping this thing is a huge. I hope you have 60 boats.
Well, I do too. But it's a work in progress. We've grown it from 8 and 9, and last year we had a great turnout, and we're hoping to up it a little bit this year. And as the Crappie Club and the Forgotten Child Fund work hand in hand, we're growing this thing on a daily basis.
Well, that's awesome, Jim. Well, thank you so much. We'll keep pushing it, and hopefully you'll just be loaded up next or couple of weeks.
Thank you, kind sir. Appreciate it.
Y'all. Thank you,
have
Jim.
A good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys, how are you this morning?
Wonderful. Iron Man, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to ask your guest two questions. One, what would possess somebody to want to go suffer for 140.6 miles? And two, wetsuit or no wetsuit tomorrow morning?
Well, the first question is the biggest one. I've never been able to answer it, and I've done this will be my sixth Iron Man, and I every time I do it, I... I always scratch my head and say, what in the heck am I doing out here? But it is a suffer fest, certainly. And, you know, I look at some of the best memories of my life that involved suffering in some point. I'm sure every hunter and fisherman in the world out there knows that, too, that some of the best experiences are, you know, when they have to suffer a little bit out in the woods. So I think there's something to do with that. And I just don't know the answer, though. And the other question, I think it's probably no wetsuit. There's a limit. If it's so over 77 degree water temperature, they don't allow wetsuits. And right now it's at 77. Yesterday it was. So it has to get down to 76.1. I don't know why the 0.1 makes a difference. But that's the international Ironman rule. So we'll see.
That's going to separate the real athletes from the floaters right there if they don't allow a wetsuit.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All righty. Well, good luck tomorrow. I've got several friends doing that as well. So just be safe and have a lot of fun, because I know everybody's always thrilled when they finish one of those things.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
So wetsuit versus – does wetsuit obviously help, I guess?
Yeah. And you think about the Ironman's mostly legs. So most of these athletes have big legs with not a whole lot of fat in their legs. And so swimming, to keep your legs up on the surface, you got to kick. And, an Ironman or a triathlete probably doesn't want to kick very much. They just want to float their legs behind them. So without a wetsuit, your legs are kind of sitting down in the water a little bit, catching. With a wetsuit, it keeps your body up on the surface a lot more, and it's not that it's not going to help you that much. It probably on an average, you're out there for an hour and 20 minutes. If you had a wetsuit, you'd probably do it an hour and 17 minutes. And in the bigger picture, it's not make any difference really.
Well, here's the real question: floaty or no floaties?
Yeah,
I would be me with the floaties on.
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking, the little ring with like the little critter coming out the front, like the little dragon ring, just kicking yourself along downstream.
Well, I know Richard Sims is who we were alluded to earlier today is going to be one of the rescue boats that are out there. So hopefully I told him I hope he had a very boring morning.
Well, it is actually quite dangerous. It used to be. It's different now because now they're doing wave starts. Before they, before they had chip timers and that kind of stuff, it was a mass start. And all the ones I've done in the past, it's 1,200, 1,300, guys, gals all at the same time. And so people getting kicked and clawed over and climbed in and just pushed down. And there have been, there's been a lot of people drowned in the past. I mean, not a lot, but I mean, there was several last year.
Wow.
I used to like to watch them down at ESPN when they'd be in Hawaii and all the people at the gates. And it was just like a madhouse of people just fighting and for position and everything else.
Now, will you start in the water, or will you guys go like they do on the Ironman in Hawaii, where they run in and?
No, there's a special dock that they made.
Okay.
That's just it's Kenco Warehouse, if you know where that is. Just right, two and a half miles upstream, and so your time officially starts when you go across that RF receiver and then you just dive in and go. So it's
cool.
It really starts on the ground, but jump in and you're good.
We have LL, who is asking about trails. How you doing today?
Hey, doing good. How are you guys?
Great.
I just wanted to let everybody know, including Randy, I'm not sure if he's aware that Lula Lake Land Trust is celebrating their 20th anniversary this weekend. And they're going to be open all weekend, which is a great place to take first-time hikers or kids or anybody that's not really big on it yet to kind of get them exposed to hiking. Trails are very well maintained. You can get them. You can get really easy trails, or a little more advanced. There's some beautiful waterfalls to be seen, and just great scenery. And these guys have done a great job keeping up and maintaining these properties. And it's also, I think, adjacent to the Cloudland Connection Trails, which can take you for a 20-mile hike all the way to Cloudland Canyon. So they're located on Lula Lake Road, which if you take Ox Highway all the way up to the top of the mountain and then make a left at Fairland School, you basically will follow that road for about 5 or 6 miles, and you'll see they just put up a brand new nice sign to mark the entrance of the property.
Yeah, Lula Lake Land Trust is just a spectacular place, and if you haven't been there, absolutely make a point to go there. One of the best waterfall, 80-foot waterfalls. I mean, one of the prettiest waterfalls you'll find anywhere around this side of the country, and the lake is awesome, and yeah, he's right. There's beautiful trails right on Rock Creek there, and bluff line, bluff views up above. Yeah, it's just a fantastic place.
Yep. Awesome. So I just wanted to give them a plug and let everybody know that they're celebrating their 20th anniversary, and they're going to have some extra activities there for kids and adults as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for letting us know. Appreciate that.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lula Lake just got one of our grants recently to build two more trails out there. So they're really doing a lot of stuff.
You know, we were talking during the top of the hour break about the getting the kids out and the exercise, and hiking is a great way to do this, you were saying.
Yeah, I really think that walking, is the best form of exercise that we have. A lot of people, they want to start a fitness program, they jump right into running, and I just think that's asking for problems. You're gonna get injured if you do that, especially if you start running too fast. And if you're just not used to running, don't start running. I mean, if you want to be a runner, you gotta be a walker first. And so I encourage people to go out in the woods is the best place to do it, because an hour is kind of the magic number. If you can, anybody can walk for an hour and figure out yourself. Everybody has to kind of look within themselves to figure out what's the best pace that I can do for that hour. And you want to get your heart rate up to a certain rate. And again, it's different for everybody, but what makes it feel good, and you want to push it just a little bit more than what is really comfortable. If you're breathing so hard you can't carry on a conversation, you're going too fast. And so the key is to do that and do it every single day. And then after a couple of weeks, you're going to get hooked. And that's the best way to get there, best way to get outdoors, bring your kids, bring your parents. I mean, it's just something that obviously every age can walk. So, I mean, that's what I encourage the first. And, after a few months or, however long, you might start feeling a little bit more energetic about jogging a little bit. And that, I mean, I think you let your body dictate to you when you want to start running, not like, hey, I want, I need to start running because that's what my doctor tells me to do.
Now, people can go to your website, which is wildtrails.org, to find out more about your organization and what all you guys do. And you have a lot of stuff going on, according to your website. You stay a little busy.
We do a lot. I mean, we got a fantastic organization when it comes to the trail running. We've got these group runs. We do probably 2 to 3 a week in the nicer parts of the year, and we're starting to do a lot more with kids. We're doing a youth development program now. We're just starting that. We've got a Sawyer certification program, chainsaw safety operation, and so we are now
working. Greg Norman's going to come up and teach that, right?
We got a guy, Jim Holland, who teaches
too soon.
Okay.
Teaches all of the National Park folks, and he's just a great instructor. And so we've tailored a class specifically for what we're doing, which is a tree's fallen over the trail, and it's limbing and bucking, not felling trees, right, and not doing crosscut work. So, it's a 1 day class where a typical, Class B Sawyer program takes 2 days, with the National Forest Service. So it's pared down, so it's doable. And, we've got 22 certified Sawyers in that program now. So that really helps a lot to not only get more people out to start clearing trails, because actually, trees falling on the trail is 80% of keeping a trail open. So it's a great program there, and you know, we're just really excited, building a lot of trails. Actually, the Cumberland Trail has just given us basically authority to build the next 12 miles closer to Chattanooga.
Oh, okay.
So we are going to, you know, we're going to basically connect with the top of Signal Mountain up at Hall Road, I guess is the name of it. So
awesome. All right, we'll be right back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. And I'm holding her hand, and even when it's cold, she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage. Welcome back to Tony Sanders Outdoors. Don't forget, Beatty Fertilizer, the proud builder of Tony Sanders Outdoors food plots, with all their products, including the Beatty's Big Buck food plot starter. They are now open on Saturdays from 8 to noon. You can reach them at 472-5491, 472-5491. I tell you what, it's just like sitting here talking with Randy from Wild Trails. When you talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about, you realize how much you don't know, or how much education in that particular subject you're missing. And I learned that when John was up there with us when we were planting. And when you get somebody that their whole life is planting and fertilizer and all that, you realize how much knowledge there is out there. And it's a lot easier to get that knowledge from somebody than it is to go out there and learn that knowledge on your own. So go buy Beatty's Fertilizer and learn about all you need to do. And we're talking about food plots, obviously, here, but they are very big into the gardens and yards and crops and the whole bit. So they can, the analysis they did on the food plots is amazing, what nutrients we're missing and what we need to do to fix it up and to improve it. So we're going to put that plan in place as well. So get up there and talk to a professional. They've been doing it since the 70s, so they've been doing it a long time. Beatty Fertilizer, 472-5491, 472-5491. So you've got now, can anybody take the Sawyer program? Because we were talking about that. That really dovetails with what, you know, Sonny was talking about going in place with no trails. Yeah. But, you know, I know there's a lot of trails out there. Matter of fact, where we hunt, we've got a hardwood stand, and the tornadoes and stuff that came through a few years ago really blew down a lot of stuff, and we lost a bunch of trees during the snow, so we had to get out there and do some very somewhat dangerous things with things that we're probably not that good at.
Well, I thought I was pretty good operating a chainsaw until the tornado we had back in, you know, 2011, I think. And then I just, you know, I got in contact with some of the best sawyers in town and realized some of the mistakes I've been making and why they were dangerous. And that's when I realized we need a program, because there's a lot of people out there working on trails that really don't know how to do it. And so we started the program, and we offer it to anybody. And the only thing that we ask is that you're going to use it for the community. You're going to go out and clear trails. You're going to go out and clear, like you're saying, you know, there's food plots out there that are, you know, that are kind of getting messed up. And so if you're doing it just for yourself, you know, then you probably, you know, we're really not interested in helping you. But if you're going to use the chainsaw to help a trail or help a, you know, something that's better for our community, then we're happy to pay for you to learn how to do it properly. But this is not for beginners at all. You have to be comfortable with a chainsaw, and it's mainly a chainsaw safety class. And there's people that haven't passed. I mean, so you're not guaranteed of getting your certification for sure.
Well, and I mean, that would be a couple of things. You're giving back if you go out there and like work with your organization and help keep trails and stuff open, but you're also staying in shape, which is something that we haven't done this year. But you know, we talked about some of the condition. I remember when I went to Colorado for the first time, the conditioning I was trying to do to get ahead of the curve when I got out there, because having been out there quite often, to especially where my family's restaurant was in Red Feather Lakes, right there at the Roosevelt National Forest, you know, the lung conditioning and I remember training and thinking, God, I wish I'd quit smoking many years before I quit, and because I did, I have fairly good oxygen saturation, but it still kicked my butt.
Yeah.
Well, you were at altitude too, so.
Well, that's why, though. Yeah. That's why I was struggling so much. Yeah, smoking didn't help years ago.
Yeah, a lot of people go to Colorado. They may be fit here. They go there, and it's, you know, half the amount of oxygen in the air. And
you know, the funny thing, though, is, Randy, I got a friend of mine. I mean, I really trained hard for that. I got a friend of mine that still smokes today, and he had zero problems.
Yeah.
And I was out there struggling. It's like, this is stupid. This is crazy. I don't get it. But, you know, just what it was. After about 3 days, it kind of leveled out, and I was fine. But those first 2 or 3 days, it was like, whew.
Yeah. Get used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at least you didn't wait till the week before to start training to go out there.
No, that I did not do. That's what you were talking about, people with this Ironman.
Hey, I think I'll run the Ironman tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go run it.
Sponsored by Moon Pie. Come on.
I'll eat some Moon Pies on the way down there.
Moon Pies or Little Debbie?
Is it?
A Little Debbie.
Little Debbie.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Man.
Well, they have the...
Sorry.
They have their healthy side.
They do?
Yeah.
There's 7 Day Adventist, so it's all...
They have some granola stuff. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I forgot. What's it called? Isn't it Sunbelt? Isn't that their product? I think that's their product. Sunbelt or something like that. I may be wrong. But yeah, I know they do have some of the...
Well, traditional, you think about Little Debbie. It's not
the oatmeal cake.
You wouldn't think that that's something that Iron Man would partner up with, would be a... but, you know, it's a local company. It's great. Yeah.
Well, I remember when they announced that partnership, that was the thing you heard. Little Debbie? So you're saying you're not going to be sucking down Moon Pie?
You
got me saying Moon Pies now.
Little Debbie Cakes. Actually, Moon Pies has come after us. They would love to sponsor our race series. And so I'm not going to at least give us a healthy product. Something healthy to eat. Then we'll talk.
But it's kind of like Crystal sponsoring all those bike people around here. And I just crack up every time I see it. I'm like,
well,
when was the last time you ate at Crystal, man?
Here's the deal. And you get these athletes, and they think, there's a lot of them that think, well, this furnace is burning so hot I can eat anything I want because I'm healthy and I'm super fit and I exercise. And it is quite the opposite. If you exercise at that level and you're an ultra-distance athlete, you're stressing your body way more than a sedentary person is. And so you actually should be treating your body a lot better than somebody that doesn't exercise. Because if you don't feed it the right kind of foods, it's not going to rebuild right. It's not going to operate. And people just don't get it. And they can eat whatever they want. That's not the case.
It's very scientific. And people, you're right. A lot of people, and there's some people that are blessed with great genetics and things like that. And there's other people that are not and have to do it the hard way.
Well, I used to be a vegetarian. It was probably one of the worst things I've ever done. But it was like about a year, and I was a semi-pro triathlete back, and this is in the 80s. And I just kept getting weaker and weaker, and I kept craving more and more protein. And I stopped at I don't eat fast food much. I think Whopper, that's Burger King, right?
Burger King, yeah.
So that's what I stopped at a Burger King and got two Whoppers and ate. And it was like my body just huge sigh of relief thanking me for finally eating some protein. So never go back.
Well, the buddy that called in, Jimmy, first thing, he posted on Facebook this, basically said, if you don't like to see, you know, dead animals, you need to unfriend me now because... Deer and deer season, that's what you're going to see. But in his post, he said, I have canine teeth, and so do you. And that's you know, the flat teeth are used, is what food uses to eat with. I know friends that are vegetarian, and they're as unhealthy as, you know, it's completely opposite of what you think they would be from the standpoint of trying to be a vegetarian. It's just, it's balance.
Yeah.
And as much as I don't condone smoking anymore, especially, but I had a doctor, and it was probably the best thing he could ever said to me. And he said, you know, if you don't do stupid, you know, everything in moderation, you know, because I was smoking. He goes, yeah, you probably ought to cut back, but if you don't stop, okay, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just moderation. That's all we're after.
Yeah.
And it just kind of set with me that it is moderation. So, so interesting. All right. Break. Break, break. Tony Sanders Outdoors. We'll be right back. Y'all get the dogs. There's a big black. Welcome back, Tony Sanders Outdoors. There may be a surprise in a few minutes. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Okay. I like surprises.
I just confirmed it. There's a surprise.
Yay! Will I like this surprise or no?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right.
I tell you what. This, is, to me, has been an outstanding show. I just got a text from somebody saying one of the best shows ever. So, Rob, I give you credit for putting this one together.
Thank you.
As much grief as I gave you about it. I agree. This has been an awesome show. And, we've got Randy Wharton from Wild Trails. And, again, their website's wildtrails.org. And I tell you what, my grandson just turned 4. And I'm not sure I want to take him out into the wilderness yet. Little slippery sucker. Matter of fact, I got home with him last night. I literally leaned back in the car to get his stuff out of the car, and I looked up, and he was gone. And I'm like, okay. So I went in the house. I'm like, where's Hunter? I don't know. We hadn't seen him. So, oh, God. And I knew he didn't go to the road because he would have had to go past me to get to the road. And he had walked in front of the car. Well, last I saw him was walking in front of the car towards the door, but he had made an abrupt turn through the bushes right out to a swing set. And, I mean, just in a second, he was gone. And so I'm not sure I want to take him on the woods yet, or I'd have to leash him down.
Put a bell on him.
Yeah.
My dogs do that, too. That's why they don't go in the woods.
Yeah, put a dog collar on him, yeah. That'd work.
No, just a bell.
A dog collar would probably work as about like a belt would on him. So.
Yeah.
So maybe I could find him that way. But
sure.
I do want him to love the outdoors. I want him I got him a lifetime hunting license, so he never have to buy a license. But there's so much more to it than just hunting. I mean, I love the hunting, but I've told the story, and I haven't told this year, but the best hunt I ever had in my life was when I dropped my gun from the tree. And so I didn't have any choice. I sat there and just kind of watched. I learned more about nature that 2 hours that morning because the gun was down, so there was going to be no hunting. So I sat back and just observed, and I watched deer, and I watched squirrel, and I watched, you know, all these critters, and I watched the sun come up, and I watched how they react to the sun. And that's what you can get from being out in the woods and in nature. And they can do that with organizations such as yourself. Get out there and help and work, because it takes a lot of manpower to keep these trails up.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we've got an Adopt a Trail program that it's been in this fourth year, I think, and I think we're over 10,000 man hours that we've put in, you know, over the last 4 years at least.
Rob's going to adopt a trail.
I am. Yes, I am. Well, the great thing about trails is, though, they lead somewhere, and usually at the end of them, there's something really cool, like the waterfall you were talking about. There's usually something, and if it's just a loop trail, you still get something out of it by seeing squirrels, birds, you get to hear woodpeckers, whatever's out in the woods that day. So it's always a great experience.
Well, we talked about some of the best trout fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Is you know, 2 or 3 hour hike up into the woods. Up in the smoky area, mm-hmm. or
sure.
Up in there. So,
Teleco, that area, there's a lot of places to hike around there, too.
So if somebody wanted to get started, just right here in Chattanooga, I want to get started. The whole walk, you got to walk before you start running and all that concept. I want to get started easy. Where's the best place to go?
Stringer's Ridge, without question. I mean, it's probably, arguably you could define it as a wilderness area. I mean, it has got almost every, there's fox up there, there's bobcats that have been sighted. I know that there's bobcats up there. I've seen the scat. Certainly tons of deer, lots of turkeys. I mean, it's a magnificent place. So that's just like in downtown. You cannot go wrong there. So if you haven't been to Stringer's Ridge, go check it out. There's really magnificent trails there. And bring your bike. They have a they have mountain bike trails there as well as pedestrian only trails. And so that would be a great place to start if you're on that side of town. If you're on the other side of town, I mean, Lookout Mountain has got just a magnificent array of trails. Not only on the St. Elmo side, the St. Elmo Trail leads to the Glen Falls area, and then the other side's got the Chattanooga Arboretum and Nature Center. And there's just magnificent trails. And Skyuka Springs is on the back end of that. It goes right along Lookout Creek, and all of those are fairly easy trails. They're not difficult. There's not a lot of climbing involved. So,
can you get information about the different trails around here at your website?
Yeah. We got all the maps on there. There's and the map. The maps are growing. We don't have every single map or every single trail mapped at the moment, but probably will by the end. Probably by the spring, we'll have them all mapped.
Glen Falls is one of my favorite easy hikes. Like if you're ever just downtown, got an hour to kill, just go walk in and go to where the Lace waterfalls are, and where that bridge is that goes right across it and everything. I mean, and it's flat. It's pretty much flat the whole way there. The whole way back. So, I mean,
well, hidden secret with Glen Falls is you keep going up just a little bit, and then there's some stairs, some rock stairs that the CCC built up through this little cave through the rocks that goes to that creek that goes above there, and just really beautiful camp picnic spots up above the falls.
Yeah, it's always nice to take somebody who's never been, and then they like discover it for the first time, and you're like, yeah,
it's good stuff.
Awesome. So, there you go. Good places to get started.
One other thing that Wild Trails is getting into is creeks, and we're probably not sure where we're going to take this, but one thing that's needed for sure with Chattanooga is clearing the creeks. There's just so many creeks that are non-navigable because of the downfall trees. So we're developing a safety program, and we've got some good equipment. It's going to require pull saws and probably some winches to pull the trees out of the channel. We don't want to pull them all the way out of the channel. If you think about natural habitat for fish, they need to have those trees in there. So we're just trying to carve a canoe-sized path through the creeks. And there's 77 miles of creeks that we've identified around Chattanooga that are navigable if we could get the trees out of them. So we talked about North and South Chickamauga Creek, but there's West Chickamauga Creek. There's Lookout Creek, goes all the way to Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the watershed of Lookout Creek is 120 miles long.
And right.
You literally could paddle from Trenton to downtown if we could clear that creek. So
we can do that on a paddleboard?
Well, think about paddleboard. Yeah, absolutely. The paddleboarding thing, I've just discovered it in the last couple of years, but that is the best vantage point to watch nature. You think about it. You got all the water creatures and you got all the land creatures, and they're all going down to the water to get a drink. And so, especially the land creatures are not expecting danger from the water. So you can sneak up on just about anything you want there. And I have, everything from coyotes to deer to turkeys. I scared the crap out of a raccoon one time. And it's just a great place to see nature. And it's
stealth.
Stealth. It's very stealth. That's right.
Let's go to Greg. Call him about creeks. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Tony. Morning. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
I heard the gentleman talk about clearing out North Chickamauga Creek and taking the trees out of the creek. And we own a lot of that creek, the Wildlife Resources Agency. And while that sounds really good, removing those trees from the creek accelerates the speed of the water and leads to some pretty serious erosion issues. So, while we appreciate the fact that they'd like to navigate that creek, the very thing that they're wanting to do will be the very destruction of the creek, because instead of having a defined channel, you'll end up with a wide, shallow creek that won't support the types of aquatic resource that we want, the natural resource. So, at least on the areas of the creek that we own,
right?
We're definitely not going to allow that to happen. And if we catch people cutting the trees in the creek, there'll be an issue.
Sure.
Yeah, Greg, I understand completely. We haven't begun this yet. We're still trying to identify the best way to do it, and that's the first thing that I heard from a whole bunch of people is don't remove the trees. And we have no intention at all of removing trees out of the channel. Our thought is just to cut a 6-foot wide swath and it will probably be meandering. So if there's a big canopy down in the creek, we just want to cut a little piece of the tip of the canopy. We're not taking the tree out of the channel. That's absolutely understand completely.
And, guys work with the different organizations.
Yeah,
and stuff.
We have not started this yet. Yeah. We're still in the infancy of trying to not only figure out what's the best way for the wildlife habitat, but also how the safest way to do it. So we got some work to do, and we'll definitely be talking to all the agencies out there, and we'll develop a plan that everybody agrees with before we do anything.
Well, that's good to hear, because in the past we've just had some haphazard efforts with no contact with us. And like I said, our policy now is if we catch a lot of places, we own both sides of the creek, and if we catch people cutting the trees at all, we'll prosecute them. So,
hey, Greg,
just touch base with us. Hey, Tony, good talking to you.
I tell you what, Greg, and this is you know me, and you've known me a long time. I have been more impressed with Randy this morning than somebody in a long time, I'll be honest with you, just from the approach that they're taking to what they're doing. I think is pretty impressive.
Good deal. Well, hopefully we can work together and make it a better place for everybody.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, buddy. Take care.
See ya. All right. Rob?
Sir?
Today?
Yes?
You are going to be teaching fly fishing.
I am.
Sportsman's Warehouse. You know what else they have at Sportsman's? We're talking about all this trail hiking and stuff. They have a tremendous hiking and camping and shoe area there at Sportsman's Warehouse. Fat Al's in the house. So you can not only go out there and pick up stuff, so you can go out and start walking on the trails, but you can go learn about fly fishing and everything else, right?
Correct.
So, and it starts today when?
1 o'clock. Till 5, and then the GPS seminar is from 1 to 2 out there today. You can learn about all your GPS components and how to use them and what's the latest technology that's out there on the GPS world, so you can find your way to and from all these trails.
There you go. Sounds good. Today, Sportsman's Warehouse at 1 o'clock. Go see Rob, learn about fly fishing, pick up your hiking stuff, and head out to the woods with wildtrails.org. That'd be what a day. Tony Centers Outdoors. We'll be right back with a surprise, but unbeknownst to anybody but me. Well, not just me. We'll be right back.
I'm on a first name basis. I got Buzz Basin's air spoons, bubble gums and fruits, booyah crawfish jig.
Push the button. Push the button.
I got a 7-foot camera.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Don't poke the bear. You're poking the bear.
We've only got 7 minutes left, so I can poke him now.
Okay. He's up now. He was a sleepy bear this morning.
He got caffeine in him.
Yeah.
Now
welcome
happy.
Back, Tony Centers Outdoors. Wrapping up, probably one of the best shows we've had this year. Randy, it's been great to have you here.
And my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm gonna be looking through the paper to see the results of the Ironman now. So where do you think you'll finish, time-wise? Again, it's 2.4 mile swim, 116-mile bike, followed by a full marathon.
Yeah, I'm thinking, realistically, it'll probably be 12 hours, but I'd sure like to get it under about 10 or 11 and a half. Would be.
I'm happy if I stay awake for 12 hours.
What's the fastest you've ever done it?
A little under 11.
Wow. That's just phenomenal.
I don't drive 116 hours without at least taking a nap or something. I'm serious, man. Wow.
And not only that, this has been a great show with your organization, wildtrails.org, and appreciate you coming in, and hope you come back in the future.
Yep, love to.
Now, I'll let you stay around here. We've just got a couple minutes left. Al?
Yes?
You are the surprise.
I am a surprise.
It's a surprise I've seen you here.
Yeah, that's what my wife tells me every day.
It's a surprise that you wake up, or what?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm still fully active.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Deer season open. I almost got one coming down the road with my 4Runner. Close.
That would have been bad.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
We got about 3 minutes here, so I'll let you do your deal.
Okay. I was sitting at the house the other day, and I got to thinking, God, poor old Rob gets picked on so bad. And Tony sometimes lets up and gives him a pat on the back.
Occasionally,
yeah, but it's his goal in life to continually to impress and build up Rob to the point to where he can be a profitable bass fisherman or crappie fisherman or carp fisherman. And, oh, gosh, I thought I'd reward him a little bit. I made him a rod, an ultralight rod.
You're kidding.
Look at his face.
You are kidding. That's for me? Oh, my goodness. It's got my name on it.
And it's Carp Professor?
And it's spelled correctly.
It's spelled correctly.
I'm giving you points for that. This is amazing. Thank you, Al.
He didn't ask me how to spell it.
No.
No, I asked Tony.
Yeah, I was going to say this earlier. The call that we had about the Iron Man, you typed Iran Man.
Did I?
I-R-A-N, Iran Man.
You get it. You get the gist.
But yeah,
this is absolutely amazing.
It's gorgeous too.
Oh, you made that. That's beautiful. Yeah.
I've been making rods probably for 40 years as a hobby. It's not a business, but
well, thank you so very much, Al. I really appreciate that.
Now, don't put a great big deep sea fishing reel on it,
or a fly reel,
because it weighs less than 3 ounces.
You know what? This is going to be a brim catching machine right
yes,
here.
It will be.
Yeah.
This and is crappie. Awesome. Thank you. Crappie too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put a small reel on it with about 4 pound test.
This is awesome. Well, thank you so very much.
Hey, you've shocked him. You've shocked him, Al.
I think we did.
That's awful nice of you, man. It really is. And
I like what it says on the rod. It says custom built for Rob Pritula.
There you go. The Carp Professor.
Thank you, Al, so very much.
You're this quite awesome.
I now say I have a custom rod.
You do.
Now the problem is I got to go get a reel down at Sportsman's Warehouse.
You'll be there today. You can pick one out.
I can pick my own reel out.
And he's not lying to you. Don't go big. Get a small
one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, this I forgot awesome. What it was you told me to get.
You got a suggestion for a reel, Al?
Just a good small reel. To match it.
Awesome. Al, that was awful nice of you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for coming down here.
Well, that's my good deed for today.
Now you can go be mean?
No, I'm going to go home, take a nap, wait till 12 o'clock, and UT, Lord, please let them play good.
Just make it a ball game?
Yeah, just make it a ball game. It's on ESPN.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Randy, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's been fun. And so what's your day? Since you're Iron Manning tomorrow, what's your day today?
My wife and I are in the final stages of building a home.
Okay.
So got to kind of put together a bathroom downstairs and some lattice outside. So just working around
just relaxing.
The home. I got to go down and check my bike in to the race before 3 o'clock. So I'll go down to the zoo that's downtown. Right. If you haven't been down, you should go check out Athlete Village. It's like nothing you'd ever seen before.
Cool.
Great people watching opportunity today, for sure.
Awesome.
I thought you'd go to Wine Over Water tonight.
He might need to tomorrow. Too bad it's not tomorrow night.
Exactly.
What kind of bike has he got? A Murray?
Yeah. From Walmart.
Yeah.
Tony Sanders Outdoors. See you next week.